Welcome to this week's episode of Dylan's Podcast. My name is Dylan Gallagher, and I'm the host of this podcast. I'm an entrepreneur that has a passion for all things entrepreneur and small business. I use this podcast to share my thoughts and opinions on interesting things happening in the marketplace. And really, I find this podcast is actually selfishly more helpful for me than maybe it might be for you. I find I get to explore some of the things that I've been thinking about. I get to talk about some of the things going on in our business and get to work out some of the issues or maybe some of the questions I have. And in doing so, who knows, maybe it'll help another entrepreneur in the same position. I am a real life entrepreneur sharing thoughts and headlines that help other entrepreneurs do more. And I believe do more is being able to save for the future, invest in new opportunities, or give back to the community around you. So, with no further ado, if you listened to last week's podcast, I talked about many different things, but one of the ideas that I had talked about that I wanted to explore a little bit further today was this idea of being a market business or a use case business. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment, but it stems from the business that I'm trying to build. I've been a mortgage broker for the past, it's almost been 20 years, actually. Next year, it'll be 20 years that I've been brokering finance for people. And we have a small office. At one time, we had a large office, and the financial crisis sort of wiped that out. And over the years, I've had to figure out how to continue to be able to do what we do, which is helping people who need financing. And in tackling this whole issue of market business or use case business, there's a broader school of thought that's been really well-researched and well-defined. So I'm just taking someone else's ideas and transmitting them back to you who might be listening. But there's this idea out there of a blue ocean strategy. The Harvard Business Review sort of popularized this concept, I think, about a decade ago, and they continue to write about it. There's a great book that was written about it. There's some articles online if you're interested. But in essence, blue oceans, as opposed to red oceans, blue oceans are all of the marketplaces that do not yet have any competition in them. They're either unknown market space, or maybe they are markets that don't have people fighting for customers right now. There's something, the opposite of a blue ocean would be a red ocean. A red ocean would mean that there's lots of people fighting for the business. There's lots of people that are in the marketplace trying to win over customers and be profitable. And some of the quick reference points are that a red ocean strategy would be the typical business. You know, the business that says, look, I think I can make this product or this service, I can deliver it to customers, and I can go and beat the competition. I can take advantage of demand that I think is not being taken care of because my particular product or service has a certain little difference that will help us be better than the competition. And we as a business will try to make sure that the cost benefit really, really works. And so we're going to build a company, and all of the business that we do is going to be either different than the competition or a lower price than the competition. And so in red ocean strategies, really, you're just one of a dozen, hundred, thousand players in the marketplace. And so the best that you can be is to be first place, because anything less than first is probably an unprofitable place to be in. And there's a bunch of talk about, well, you know, within big markets, you can have these little niches. And I understand all of that. But at the end of the day, the market is really well defined. The customers are really well defined. The products and the services are really well defined. And so your opportunity to be very, very profitable really only comes from how hard you can compete against everybody else, and that usually comes at the price of margin. A blue ocean strategy, on the other hand, is sort of uncontested market space. It's a market that just doesn't exist. Instead of going into the marketplace to beat the competitors, you go into the marketplace and, in essence, make competition irrelevant. Instead of trying to take advantage of these little pockets of demand, you go to the marketplace with a new product or a new service and you create and capture new demand, demand that didn't even exist before. People didn't even know they needed something. And instead of making the cost-value trade-off work, meaning, you know, we're going to make sure that when customers buy our product or service, that they're getting great value for the cost that they're prepared to pay, and that value is more than our competitors. In a blue ocean strategy, there is no value cost trade-off because the marketplace doesn't even know they want your product or service until you bring it to them. And instead of aligning your company with trying to either be different or the lowest cost provider, in a blue ocean strategy, you can be either or none. You get to dictate that. Some obvious examples, one that I'll post the link to this article that the Harvard Business Review made available, but one of the examples that quickly comes to mind is Cirque du Soleil. That's the acrobatic circus that comes up with themes, and you know, and they travel from city to city and they do phenomenally well. And instead of just being another circus with lions and elephants, you know, they found a way to completely change the entire experience and customer base of who goes to a circus. Instead of it being families with kids that want to eat popcorn and listen to the ringmaster, now it's professional couples, it's wealthy individuals, it's husbands and wives going on dates to, in essence, see a circus. Another obvious example, though, of a blue ocean strategy would be something like the iPhone. You know, these products that come along that just decimate the marketplace. And if you don't believe it decimated the marketplace, then you'd have a hard time arguing that it, in essence, didn't just create a whole new marketplace. So that's the difference between blue ocean strategies and red ocean strategies. And last week when I talked about, are you a market business or are you a niche business? Really what I mean when I say that is, you know, is your business just competing in the existing market to grab different or to grab the same customers that exist? Or are you a market business in that you're actually trying to create an entire new market, in which case new competitors can come into the market, they can play in your space, but in essence you've created the market, you lead the market, and everyone else sort of follows behind you. And in our business, for the last year and a half, we've really been fighting hard to cannibalize our existing brokerage business. There's 1,000 companies like ours in the marketplace, both in Canada. There's even more in the US. But really, it's such a saturated market that being profitable means sacrificing your margin in exchange for volume. Customers, at a certain point, it's just a commodity. It's like, you know, like the telephone, for example. Before there were mobile phones and phones that didn't have cords on them, you know, someone would walk into their local store and say, I just want to buy a phone, and they'd pick whatever phone was on the shelf, and it didn't really matter what the features were because all the features were exactly the same. You picked up the receiver, you spun the little dial, and next thing you know, you could make a call. Same thing in our business. You know, whether you go to the bank and talk to a specialist, whether you go to a broker, whether you go to a mortgage agent, at the end of the day, everyone's doing exactly the same thing. They're trying to get customers the best price. They're trying to save customers a ton of money, not realizing that the customers don't even really care. And they don't have to care because there's 1,000 companies in the marketplace that are there to service that customer. So if the customer doesn't like you or they don't like a particular bank, they can walk across the street and they can just go to the next one. In our business, what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a whole new marketplace where customers are being educated, where they're being informed, where they are being shown how banks actually work, so that when they go now to take hold of their financing need, whether it be a mortgage or a loan, that they're armed with the information that they need to be armed with. They already know before they start knocking on doors which lenders are going to fund them, why they're going to fund them, and what the cost of their capital could be. So we're really trying to shift where the customer gets their value from, and we're doing that by way of experience. And so I'm a huge fan of entrepreneurism. I'm a huge fan of blue ocean strategies. I think if you look at what's happening in the tech world and you talk to any venture capitalist or any angel investor or hedge funds, everybody's trying to find the next thing that's really going to grow and be what's called a unicorn, or a decacorn. I think I read in the last Fortune magazine there's a new term for it now, but in essence, everyone kind of sees, I think this is a well-defined principle now. It's not just investing in a business that does something better than somebody else's business. In fact, that now almost seems irrelevant. The only way to have a good business these days is to be doing something that nobody else is doing, not just being different, meaning, you know, our product is blue and it's not red, or our product is, you know, 12 inches big instead of 10 inches big. I mean, that isn't what fuels growth and profitability. It's actually doing something totally different, giving customers something they didn't even know they needed. And it's funny because, you know, most business people will say, well, go talk to your customer, go and do case studies and go and do market studies and make sure you really, really, really know who your customer is. And I would argue that the customer doesn't know what they want until they see it. And I'm not too wise about that. I mean, Steve Jobs said it. There's been lots of notable business people that have made that comment, but I actually really believe it. Having run a business in a very competitive, commoditized industry for the last 20 years, I can attest to the idea that if all you want to be is a competitor in the marketplace, then your ability to be profitable is, your chances and your ability to be profitable are really, really slim. If you can stop, though, and understand what it is that your business actually does, you might find new use cases for the product or the service that you offer. And in our case, we have 20 years of understanding how banks work, how why clients need money, where the pitfalls are, what the train wreck is. And so we're attempting to try and change that. And it's really, really hard. It's not simple, but I think the rewards are worth it. I mean, time will tell. Keep tuning into this podcast to see whether or not we're right or we're wrong. But if you run a business right now and you're simply just trying to be better than everybody else, then I might encourage you, I mean, it doesn't take very long, but I would encourage you to take a day or take 2 days, sit down with a pen and paper and say, okay, if competing with everybody else wasn't an option, if we actually had to take the knowledge, the skills, and the experience that we have, how could we create an entirely new market? And I think the way a new market gets created is a new use case, you know, a new reason why people will use a product or service. And again, to think of the iPhone, people now, instead of just making a phone call, could check their email. Instead of just checking their email, they could check their web browser. Instead of just checking their web browser, now they can download apps. Well, if they can download apps, then they don't have to use their web browser. They can use these isolated activities that are highly tailored to the experience that they want to have. And then there's an Apple store or an app store that we could sell apps through. And so your business isn't as special as you think it is. In fact, my business isn't as special as I think it is. I know that. But I get up every day to try and understand, how can we create a brand new market that just doesn't exist today? How can we do something that nobody else is doing? And not just to be different, but to actually create new customers. Keep in mind that a red ocean strategy is one where the demand is already in the marketplace and now everyone's just fighting to get a piece of it. So there's only so many customers and everyone else is trying to get those customers. Whereas in a blue ocean strategy, there's nobody there yet. Not only do you have to create the blue ocean, but you also now have to get people to it. And so the rewards are obviously that you get to be a huge market player, you get to be hugely profitable, but a little bit altruistically, you actually get to improve, the economy. You get to improve a way of life. You get to dynamically change how people do things. And I think that that's probably one of the most exciting opportunities that we have as entrepreneurs, is to do something nobody else is doing. I mean, we can go out and compete, but man, when we can create new markets, when we create new products, but more importantly, new customers, that's really where the excitement and the ignition takes off. So I don't know if you've ever thought about that. I don't know if anyone's ever brought that to your attention. Again, I'll post the link to the Harvard Business Review article on blue ocean strategies, kind of what they are. It's a pretty easy read. Might take you a couple minutes, but it's worth it. And if you're currently trying to create a new market, reach out. I'm on Twitter at Dylan Gallagher, Facebook, LinkedIn. Share with me your thoughts. Let me know what you think. And I know from what we're trying to do, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work because people hate change. People don't like new things. But I think if the value is there, and if you can bring them something that they're going to experience in a different way that really challenges their traditional way of thinking or their conventional way of thinking, I think you've got a home run. So I don't know. Stay tuned. I'll keep talking about our business. I know right now the challenge that we have is we're trying to build a two-sided marketplace right now. And so on the one end, it's not too tough to get customers in terms of people seeking financing, although it's not a slam dunk because people looking for financing, you know, it's highly personal. They think they've got lots of options. And so we have our work cut out for us there. But even on the other side of the marketplace, trying to build a network of banks here in Canada, the resistance that we're facing there is that the very nature of the big banks are such that no one can really set policy. So when an idea like ours comes along to try and improve or disrupt the marketplace, there's nobody at the bank that understands what to do with us. They don't want to endorse us, but by the same token, they don't want to close the door to us because we're obviously bringing them customers and bringing them new business. So anyway, it's pretty interesting, but some days it's more interesting than others, but stay tuned. The last thing I wanted to talk about today was something I'd never done before, but it was a complete hoot, or good time. Hoot might not be the right term for you. But it was last Friday, I went to a social media event at one of the venues here in town. And I don't know, there must have been 200 or 300 people maybe that were at this event with me. And I'd never been to an event like this before. So everyone's doing their networking before the event starts. And then as soon as the event had started, everybody, or the speakers rather, there were three speakers on this particular day. And as soon as the first speaker went up, everybody took out their phone and started tweeting. And they were tweeting to each other. They were tweeting pictures of who was on stage. It was the most crazy networking event I'd ever been to, and it was amazing. I met a bunch of new people, not just through my Twitter account, but face-to-face because they were there in the room or in this venue with me. But it was wild. It was 2 hours long. I should have brought a backup for my phone, but I got to meet a whole bunch of new people. But it was neat to see how social media is not just something happening behind a screen, that what's happening behind a screen is almost letting us interact on a more intimate basis with people. Now, I realize there's a bunch of opinions around, well, we're actually less personal today than we were before iPhones came out and so on and so forth, but I don't agree with that. I actually think real life is happening on that phone. And when I witnessed for those 2 hours what I had witnessed, yes, people were interacting on their phone, but you know what? They also were interacting with each other as in this room. You know, they had coffee, they were having food, they were listening to this presenter, but it was crazy. It was totally wild. I would encourage you, if you've never been to one of these things, or maybe they're all over the place and this was just the first one I had ever been to, but anyway, it was a lot of fun. And again, maybe I'll just include the link on my podcast here. If you go to my blog, dylangallagher.wordpress.com, I'll have the link to the Harvard Business Review and this small business meetup. It wasn't a meetup through the app, or maybe it was, but the venue itself, it was pretty wild. It was like a tweet storm contained within a venue, and it was like 2 hours of total craziness. So anyway, those are my thoughts this week. Hopefully you've found something here entertaining. I would encourage you to really consider the Blue Ocean strategy for your business, or not. I mean, maybe that's something that doesn't appeal to you, but I think by nature, entrepreneurs are always looking to create value where there was none, to create marketplaces that didn't exist, to create products and services that make people's lives better, and a framework that you can use to help guide your efforts as an entrepreneur would really be to dig in and understand this idea of blue ocean versus red ocean strategies. So until next week, have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.